Father God, we come once more again into your presence. We thank you, Master, for your goodness. And we thank you for your grace. Lord, we didn't work, we're not worthy to go to heaven. But because of who you are, and how good you are, and how gracious you are, and how loving you are, you have now gave us the understanding to trust what you have done and done alone. Not by any human effort, but only by the holy effort and the work of a sovereign Lord God of the universe. Yes. So Lord, we thank you for choosing to become a man and living a perfect life on this planet on behalf of whoever would believe and trust your word. They now will have the right to eternal life. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Help us to understand this message that when we got saved, we are now to turn around and tell the good news of the gospel to everybody else that do not have that understanding. Help us to understand that we were made by God and we were made for God. Not for our purpose, but for his purpose that he have created us. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Let it sink into our hearts and to our mind to realize who you are. And we will continue to give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' wonderful, magnificent name we pray. And the saints of God that are in agreement with this prayer say amen.
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 In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, can I get you to stand to your feet this morning? Because I can see I'm only going to get halfway through this message. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. You may be seated. Title this morning's message is, By God and for God. ST this morning, by God and for God. So now, let me go and do this demonstration. And Deacon Brown, can you come forward for us this time? No, I don't need your chair. I need you to stand up because I want people to physically see what we're doing. Now, if you're on the phone line, I want you to pay attention. Deacon Brown is going to be walking toward me, and I'm going to be walking toward him. He's living his life, doing what he thinks he needs to do, and I'm going to be living the Christ life. And notice, his direction, he's walking away from God, because he's lost. I'm saved, and I'm walking with God, because I've been born again. And my job as a born again believer is, since I have the light and the confidence of God walking with me, and he has the light and the confidence walking against him, and his back is against God. And so this illustration, I want you to let it sink in. We're going to do a demonstration of how not to do it, and then we're going to do a demonstration on how to do it.
Amen.
All right, so I'm minding my own business.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Oh, there's a deacon, there's a rep pastor. Let me, I got my crack one here, and, I'm going to put my crack one away, because he's going to say, oh, well, I guess I'm going to put my booze bottle away, too. So, you know what? I have contempt for this guy. I'm gonna show off my crack blunt, and I'm gonna show off my. Now, what do you think of that?
Hey, man, you're doing that crack? Don't you know that kind of action and behavior is gonna send you to hell?
Well, hey, I wanna feel good right now.
Well, I'm telling you, you might be feeling good right now, but in eternity, you'll be feeling bad.
What's the harm with a little crack blunt? And my booze, but what's the harm? It's only me. I mean, what's the problem?
The problem is H-E-L-L. And if you don't get right with God, you're going to go to hell wide open. The law says you fall short.
What do you mean I fall short? What are you talking about?
God is a holy God, and everybody has to give an account to him on whether they're right with him or wrong with him. And your actions are already telling me you don't have a clue who he is.
My little crack blunt and my little booze bottle is against God?
Yeah, your back is against God. See, I'm saying, I'm facing God and I'm no longer his
Jesus and the church and all. I've heard that for years, but only my crack blunt and my booze bottle makes me feel better.
The law say you fall short, buddy, you're going to go to hell. Now, that's the wrong way to read it, okay? Because I just made a presumption that he is going to be lost. Now, this is the right way to do it, because you need to do it with kindness. I was listening to one of the teachers at BTS, he was teaching this, and he said, you have to address your tongue. So the way I addressed him was with a tongue. He didn't know, ain't no way he gonna accept the God that I serve. Because I was on the defensive. Mm-hmm. But now the right way is to walk up to him, tap him on the shoulder. Hey man, what's going on?
Not much, Pastor Dennis White. Not much. I still got my crack blunt, and I haven't lit it today, and I haven't drank today. But not much going on. What's happening with you?
Well, I want to explain to you that, hey, you can overcome those people. You can overcome those deep-rooted sins with God's help, because God loves you. And it's us and our fallen nature that makes us want to go to stuff that doesn't help us in our relationship with Him. That crack and that booze is the wrong way to get a relief of the pain and the suffering of sin.
Well, it's funny you mention that. It's trouble at my home. But I've since talked to my wife, and she knows I'm doing this crack blunt and my booze, and she's tired of it. She wants to divorce me.
Well, those are some of the ramifications, and there's all consequences. Have you ever thought about how you can be right with God and Him help you deal with the effect of sin? Because He loves you.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody ever taken time out to tell you God loves you, and it's no accident I happen to be walking to bump into you today to give you that clarity to understand that. When He died on that cross, He died for your sin nature, and the law condemned you. Have you ever lied before?
Do you have
any kind of sexual thoughts of sin?
Who hasn't? Yeah.
You ever stole anything before?
Well, a long time ago.
How many sins would it take for you to be against a holy God?
If He's holy, I guess just one.
He just saves one. So I'm trying to help you see. He's reaching out to you today to realize He wants to save you and redeem you. All you have to do is believe what He did on that cross for you. He died, He was buried, and He was resurrected for your fallen sin nature. The Bible says S-I-N is everything that's against a holy God. Now, I don't know if any other pastors have taken time out to explain to you, but your back is now against God. But now you can join me and turn around, confess your sin, and know you will no longer be against God, but God will be for you.
What's
the Bible says if God is for you, who can be against you?
Well, what sin? What are you talking about? What sins are you referring to?
Well, let me use one right now. You ever covered anything before?
Yeah.
Is it your hand?
Well, right? I guess when you say covered, that means what?
More than anything. You desire anything else?
More than God.
More than God. And that crack in your hand is already.
I guess my crack blunt qualifies.
Yeah. So God said, I came to the world to die for that. So, I don't know if you understand that's how much God loves you, and I'm trying to help you understand, because He's using me to help you get that understanding. Now, I'm not here to condemn you, because the world does that. It will condemn you for the least little thing. It will say, join me and do what I'm doing, and then soon around you start joining, then tell you you're wrong and condemns you. So God says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So take this time out there. Accept Christ as your Savior, and then you can turn around and be redeemed, and you will no longer be God be against you.
Mm.
Now God is against your back, right?
Yes.
So you want to join me? I'm going to lead a prayer. If that prayer means something to you, you can be born again.
Well, it's really pushing me to take a hit off this blunt, but I like what you're saying, that you're coming to me with, just explaining this to me. So I'm going to put off this blunt, but I'm really going to think about what you said.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to do it now?
What, make a decision?
Make a decision, because the Bible says today, harden not your heart. Tomorrow, this evening, maybe a different time, your heart gets hard, but you might not want to accept what Christ did for you. Your heart is tender right now, you need to respond.
Yeah. I want to, Pastor, but I'm afraid if I say yes, And I take a hit off my blunt later on, and then I'm lost again.
Mm-hmm. You won't be lost, because God promised you, if you shall believe on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. You cannot be lost if God saved you.
And if God let one person die and go to hell, when he say he has saved them, he'd be called what? A liar. And God's never going to be found a liar because you have trusted what he did. See, you're still relying on your effort. And God said, no, it's what I have done.
Will that same God you're talking about help me with my blunt problem, my alcohol problem, and fix things up at home?
He certainly will. That's what he died on that cross for, because all those things are the very effect of sin.
My heart's convicted, Pastor Wade. I don't know if I can, maybe tomorrow I might pick it up, but today I'm going to put this down.
Amen.
Put this down.
Amen.
Now what do I do next?
I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if that prayer means something to you, from that point on, you're no longer God's enemy. You are his friend. See, repeat after me. Lord, I believe you died on that cross for my sin. Repeat after me. Lord,
I believe you died on that cross
for my sin.
For my sin.
And I now trust what you did on that cross.
And I now trust what you did on that cross.
For me.
For me.
Not for the world, but for me.
Oh Lord, for me. Thank you. Thank you for me.
And if you believe in your heart and confess with
your mouth. I believe what you're saying, Pastor White.
And Jesus said, now I want to be your Lord.
Yes.
The Bible said, you will be saved.
Yes.
Do you believe that?
I believe it.
Amen. Amen. Well, brother, let me join you. God has now saved you. You can now turn around. You're no longer God's enemy. Let's walk together to do the Lord's work and reach more people like you.
Just turn around.
Just turn around and you're walking the same way I'm going, because we're no longer God's enemy. Our back is not against him. And now we're going the right direction. Amen. Now you need to start living right now.
We might have to curtail the message a little bit, because I wanted people to understand, when you witness to others, you once were like that person that was lost.
Yeah.
So don't think, get a high and mighty, I'm on my way to heaven now, they don't deserve it. No, you used to be just like that fallen lost person.
What the scripture said? You didn't want it.
Let me just do this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deacon. Give Deacon Brown a hand. See, when you don't reach the lost, and you're not obeying the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Follow me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 11. And I want you to see where it says, all of us were not worthy to inherit the kingdom of God. In verse 9, all the way down to verse 10, it gives you a whole list of all kind of attributes of sin. But verse 11 is what I want you to draw attention to. It's for such were some of you. You were that same person that Deacon Brown was, with that crack pipe and with that alcohol, thinking that he was all right with life adversity. But then somebody like you came across to his path and was trying to get his attention. And how do you do it? With love.
Yes.
You do it because they don't have a clue. They're going to be separated from God for all eternity, and only you are helping them see that. And let me challenge you. If you're not telling your children, if you're not telling your grandchildren, if you're not telling the people on your job, you're not telling your neighbor, you're not telling the people around you, shame on you. You're on your way to heaven, and you're not telling people that they're on their way to hell, to be separated from a holy God. Look what it says. Such were some of you.
Yeah.
But notice what it says. That word but.
Yes.
You were washed.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
But you were sanctified.
Yeah.
But you were justified.
Yeah.
Why? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in the spirit of our God.
Yeah.
See, when you leave your house, and even some of us while we're living in that house, we need to wake up with a mindset to let Christ have his way over that day.
Yeah.
Let Christ... Let love come from you.
Yes.
Yeah, some of our family members don't realize how bad they are against a holy God.
Yes.
But he puts you in that situation to intervene.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You were just like them at one point.
Somewhere.
Sin got this world so totally messed up that only God can fix it.
That's right.
And that's what he has done.
Yeah.
He came to die for those that are not worthy. Anybody think they're worthy to go to heaven is already disqualified.
Yeah.
Because you must accept his word.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So I hope y'all got some out of that illustration.
Amen.
So let's get into the text this morning. By God and for God.
Yeah.
ST this morning. ST this morning. First of all, ST this morning. ST1, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. I want you to ask yourself, what are you giving God? Everybody on the planet, whether they lost or whether they saved, they are giving God some kind of offering. Offering that God will accept or offering God will reject. And most people on the planet is waking up every day giving God what he doesn't want. That's a fallen, sinful nature telling them that he's not Lord. Pay attention. What is coming from our mouth? Turn to Matthew 12 and 34. Jesus said, you brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak what is good? For the mouth speaks that which fills the heart. From the abundance of the heart, you're going to say what's coming out. God squeeze you with the effect of life.
Yeah.
Problem with a divorce, problem with finance, problem with health, and quickly your mouth will be telling what's coming from your heart. I got to have some crack to ease this problem. I got to have some alcohol to ease this problem. You telling God, you're not acknowledging the solution. Why? God is in control. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Everything was created for God's purpose. So when it gets to you, the purpose revealing you, that you need a holy God. Amen. Do you know you have a purpose? We were teaching the kids last week in the Edify lesson that you need to ask God to show you what your purpose is. God made you for a purpose.
Yeah.
And what you're doing every day is not his full purpose. Because his full purpose will be associated with Christ. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
What's coming from your behavior? Turn to James chapter 1, verse 22, and then drop down to verse 18. But prove yourself doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. Verse 18.
Yeah.
But someone may say, I have faith, and you have works, but you show me your faith without the works, I will show you my faith by my works. If you say that, ought to be some kind of form of Jesus Christ come through your life.
Right.
If you have been born again. Something of his attributes. Something of how he would do things. God's looking every day.
Amen.
They get to sermon text number 2. ST number 2. See, 1 Kings chapter 18 verses 14 through 16 and 18 through 23 has a good story of the prophet Elijah. And the prophet Elijah is going up against the prophets of Baal. False teaching, false gods, idolatry. And God has given us a good illustration in that lesson on which one he accepts and which one he rejects. And your life is like that every day. You are giving God an offering. Everything you do, you do know you're made out of dirt, right?
Amen.
Dirt produces a sacrifice, either what God wants or what God does not want. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
Elijah offered up, was accepted. Baal offered up what was rejected. So let's look at the text real briefly. Verse 14. 1 Kings chapter 18. After he was calling the crowd to him, he began saying to them, this is Elijah speaking, listen to me, all of you. When God say listen to him, and he gives you an invitation, and when he say all of you, who does he mean? All of you. No Greek word, no Hebrew word in the Old Testament don't mean nothing else but what? All. That means lost and saved. All of you. And what does he say? Understand. I'm giving you the parameters of instructions, and I'm going to see if you heard me. Verse 15. There is nothing outside of a man. Are you listening?
Amen.
I'm sorry. I said 1 Kings, but I'm sorry. I meant Mark.
Oh, Mark. Okay.
Mark chapter 7. my bad writing. I put the wrong scriptures up during the notes. Turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 14. This is what Jesus was trying to explain to the disciples. And he was comparing the food that goes in your body and what defiles you as opposed to what not defiles you. Jesus said, after he called the crowds to him again, he began to say to them, when Jesus say, listen, what's a good thing to do?
Listen.
Jesus say, listen. He that has an ear to hear what? Pay attention to everything God's word is saying. All of you, and understand. Now verse 15. There is nothing outside of a man, that's generic man or mankind, man or woman, which can defile him. Now pay attention to this. It goes into him. Now I got to looking at that, and I want to come back a little bit later and explain that. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defiles the man or the person. It's what's coming from you that's an indication of your messed upness. Did I just make up a new word? What you do shows how messed up you are when you leave God out. And Jesus said, verse 16, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you really listening?
All right.
So be careful. It's not what goes into you that's messing you up. It what comes out of you. Now, in this case, Jesus is talking about food. But let me say this. This is a truth. If you keep putting junk in, eventually junk is going to what?
Come out.
Junk is going to come out. And junk is going to mess you up. So I want you to pay attention. God say that it's what comes out of you that's defiling you. You giving God what he will accept or what he will reject. Drop down to verse 18.
All right.
You got to keep your own scriptures because the multimedia operator had to leave. Verse 18. But he said to them, are you lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that which goes into the man from the outside cannot defile him? And that's a study in and of itself. See, it's not what's going in that's got you messed up, because you already messed up from Jump Street. The problem is, you messed up from Jump Street and you're already adding on being messed up. Am I helping you?
Amen.
You watching these soap operas?
Uh-oh.
And soap operas got nothing but sexual immorality and lying and stealing and all the breaking of the Ten Commandments, and you think that's helping your thinking? So when you respond, guess what? You're only going to respond to the contamination that's already in you. Verse 19. Because it does not go into his heart. The problem is we let a lot of stuff go into our heart. In the last few weeks, we have been talking about your heart, right?
Amen.
The heart is your volition. The heart is your thinking. The heart is your desires. So once you let it get into that area, you done went too far. Oh, it's all right for me to watch a little pornography. Nobody never know. I can surf it. Nobody ever see it. Guess who's watching? An all-knowing God. Oh, it's all right for me to have a little sex on the side, have a little girlfriend, and help somebody, you know, take care of my little needs my wife can't handle. Guess what? That's a lie. See? So if you ain't careful, it's going to contaminate you because you're not already entertaining where? In your heart. Notice what Jesus said? Because it does not enter his heart. So you make a decision to let that stuff in. And guess what? When you let it in your heart, guess what? It's going to come out. And he's not talking about food, because see, food ain't going to go where near your heart. Because he says, but into the stomach, and it's eliminated. Thus he declares all foods are clean. And that's another study in and of itself that the Jewish nation had to learn. Verse 20. And he was saying that which proceeds out of the person, out of the man, that is what defiles the person. You ever said something ugly before? Said something ugly to your spouse? Said something ugly to your kids? The kid say something ugly to you? Mm-hmm. Come on. He's telling you where it's coming from. It's coming from your what?
Heart.
The inner core of your mind, will, and emotion, your thinking. Verse 21. For from within, out of the heart, y'all listening? Mm-hmm. Men proceeds, and he goes on to explain different categories of the sin, proceed evil thoughts, and it starts with your thinking. You do know that, right?
Yes.
Fornications, mm-hmm. thefts, murderers, adulteries. Verse 22. Deeds of coveting. And just do your own study and look at the Ten Commandments mixed in there. And notice what else he says. Wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Pay attention to verse 23. All these things, he said, evil things proceed from within and defile the person. Defile the man. So when you witness to someone, remember, that's the way you used to think. Remember, when you witness into a lost person, whatever their issues is, whatever they're dealing with, you used to be that same person. Don't come with that high and mighty thinking, well, now I'm saved and they on their way to hell. Guess what? It ain't very far that you used to be in that same category. So now you got to come with a mindset, what comes from me, is God going to accept? Is God going to reject? Turn, if you will, to Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Deacon Brown quoted it in the Edify lesson. Reason, it's the heart that's the problem. It's the thinking, it's the heart, it's the desires that's way down inside of you. Verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else. And so when the Bible said the heart is more deceitful than all else, what does that mean? It's more deceitful than everything else. And it's desperately sick. Now, before you think you're all right, God already told you, you one messed up individual. You ever wonder why sometimes you say and do stuff and haven't been there while you're saying and doing it? I was walking through the house the other day. Sister White had left the most foolish kind of song come up on my mind.
No,
something in my past about shaking that behind.
Oh, Pastor, no.
So where did that come from? That's because it was in me. See, what's in your heart will come out. And God said, I let that come for you to pastor, to pray over that, and let that thing go. Why? He says, because who can understand it? Who's the only one on the planet know everything about you plus something?
The Lord.
You don't even know how messed up you are. So God said, I put that passage in there and realize you are one messed up person. Look what it says in verse 10. For I, the Lord, search the what?
The heart.
Search the what?
The heart.
Remember what we say the heart is?
Mm-hmm.
The heart is your mind, will, and emotion. And that's where your priorities and your thinking and your decision is. And what does he do? Every day, folks, listen, he's testing your mind. Every day. That's why I challenge you before your day gets started. Say, Lord, do not let me sin against you. Let me do what your words say, and let me do what's pleasing unto you. And let me add a new one and say, Lord, let me do everything you created me to do to give you glory. What my purpose is. Because if you don't ask, you have not, because you what?
Ask not.
Even to give to each man according to his ways. According to the results of his deed. Now, can you imagine a lost person that has never prayed to be forgiven by God? What's going to happen to them? They're only going to get what they have done by rejecting God's offer.
Right.
So let me help you today. What kind of offering are you giving God? We won't have time to get off into 1 Kings this morning because I want to let it sink in. You telling God what you're going to give him. When you wake up this morning, you telling him what you're going to give him. After worship one Sunday, a little boy told the pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to give you some money. And so the pastor said, well, thank you. The pastor replied to the young man, but he says, but why? And so the little boy says, because my daddy said you are one of the poorest preachers that he ever had. And the Bible says we need to give to the poor. Ask yourself, what are you giving God? You know you're going to be giving God something. What comes from your mouth, what comes from your action, you're telling God whether to accept it or reject it. Or you telling God it's what he wants or what he doesn't want. You remember Cain and Abel?
Mm-hmm.
Another example of a sacrifice. And by the way, everything you do comes from you is a sacrifice you're offering God. Because Colossians say you were made by God and for God. And whatever you're doing, you're showing what's going on between you and him. And let me help you. God saved you for a relationship.
Yeah.
He didn't save you for religion. He saved you for an intimate relationship with him every day. He's trying to show us in the book of Genesis, I come down in the lives of the created people that I made to have a relationship with him. What did he tell Adam and Eve? He came down in the cool of the day and asked, where are you? And he's still doing that into your life. He comes down and he allows adversity. He allows, we talk about those four S's. God uses scripture. He uses a situation. He uses a spokesman. And he uses the spirit to work to see what's going on between you and him. And he's looking. And if he doesn't see a submission of his son, then you just hit the wrong answer. Because it's you that's doing it, and it's not his son's life being lived out through you. And it's going to automatically be rejected. And I don't care how you can put sugar on and syrup and a perfume on manure. But guess what? It's still manure. And God said everybody on the planet that has a fallen heart has a manure stench that's repulsive to me. You can spray Chanel number 5. You can put all kind of perfume and sugar and honey, all that stuff on it. But guess what? You're still talking about what? Feces. Because the heart is contaminated. And a holy God is the only one can make it holy. A man was bent over it, obvious in pain. And the old man came in, hobbled laboriously through the sanctuary. And he went into the pastor's office while the choir was practicing. 10 minutes later, he came out walking upright, walking with grace and with speed. And so the choir director went over and asked him, says, good gracious, did the pastor just hear you by your faith? And the man says, no, I just went in there and he gave me a cane that was 6 inches taller and wasn't so short. Brothers and sisters, God is going to be giving you everything you need in his son, but it's up to you going to utilize it. It's up to you. Do you understand? It's up to you. Are you going to apply? He died on that cross. Are you going to let Christ be seen through you? And that's what his purpose is. His purpose is to let his son be lived out through you. And how many people go to church and still don't understand that? They still trying to live the Christian life by their effort. And you know what? I like what Deacon Brown said, because as soon as you post a law, tell people not to do it, guess what they're going to want to do? If I put a sign out there and say wet paint, it won't be long. I'm going to have fingerprints. Why? It's something about the law that challenges you. That paint can't be wet. What did we say in the illustration? You said in the Edify lesson, I can't think of what you said, that I even said in an illustration, and it makes you want to do it. The law condemns you to show you you want to fight against a holy God. That's why he put it in place. So that you may come to the knee and say, Lord, help me. I can't help but want to do against you. I've got that Adamic nature. And you showing God, whether you understand? That was this meeting at the church board immediately after service. And announced to the pastor, made by the pastor. There's a meeting immediately after service by the church board. Immediately after service, in the back of the sanctuary, there will be a meeting of the board. So after the close of the service, the church board gathered at the back of the sanctuary for an announcement that the pastor had made. But one stranger was in the midst. And the visitor, who had never attended the church before. So the pastor went up to him and says, my friend, don't you understand that this is a meeting of the board? And the man said, yeah, I heard you mention that it was a meeting of the void. But after today's sermon, I suppose I'm just as bored about everybody else in this meeting as you are. God helps us to have a clear understanding and not walk away with a misunderstanding. God saved you and he redeemed you, and he now wants to see, are you going to apply his truth? Are you going to apply his ways? See, you tell God every day whether to accept what you're doing or reject it. And it either will be an aroma that he will love to inhale, which has got to be through his son, or it will be an aroma that he will reject. That's why it was an Old Testament teaching about the offerings in the church. You remember in the Old Testament, it talked about the different offerings?
Yeah.
You had the burnt offering, the grain offering, the guilt offering, sin offering, peace offering, the free will offering, the drink offering, the thank offering. There were all these offerings was a picture of giving to God what he wants. But what we do is we turn around and give God what we think he wants. Remember the Cain and Abel? See, what did Cain do? Cain offered God what he wanted. And you have to understand, God had already instructed to Adam and Eve the kind of sacrifice that's acceptable. Am I teaching?
Amen.
So when Cain offered the sacrifice, God rejected it. Just check Genesis out. I'm not making it up. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Follow my wheel down to verse 14, 15, 16. When you've been saved, you understand you got the victory in him. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ.
Amen.
And manifests through us the sweet aroma, did y'all miss that? Of the knowledge of him in every place. Verse 15. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Don't miss that. One is an aroma, verse 16, from death to death, and the other is an aroma of life to life. Now ask yourself this question, and who is adequate for these things? Can you offer God life, or are you offering God the stench of death? Your actions don't show where your priorities are. What are you giving God? Before you open your mouth up, you need to do some heart evaluation.
Yes.
See, a lot of times we open our mouth before we think. We open our mouth before we realize what's coming from the contaminated, messed up will. Are we teaching?
Amen.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. It's Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God.
Yeah.
As beloved children. Are you one of his children?
Amen.
Have you been born again?
Amen.
Remember the illustration with me and Deacon Brown? That man was lost and had his back to a holy God.
Amen.
And he thought crack and he thought alcohol was going to be the solution. But God sent a person by to help him see the truth. And I like what Deacon Brown was saying, the edifying lesson. If you water down the principles of God, what do you have?
A lie.
A lie. Oh, it's all right to steal every now and then, as long as you benefit from it. Woo! See how sometimes it can sound appealing? See, the lie sounds so good, it sounds like it's right. Verse 2. And walk in love. When that man tapped him on the shoulder and says, man, I love you. God loves you. I don't want to see you wind up in hell. That's what God wants you to come with, that same attitude.
Yes.
Because I used to be just like you. I used to think solving these problems was the same way of to handle issues in sin and life. Walk in love. How? Just as Christ has loved you. Have you understand what God did for you?
Uh-huh.
Do you know God loved you?
Yes.
And he gave himself up for us. How did he do it? It's the same way you are a sacrifice to others. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So let me ask you a question. What kind of aroma is coming from you? The sad part about it is there are lost people that have trusted Christ as their Savior, but they never have turned away from their sin. And so they're still walking with their back to God, even though God is saving them and taking them to heaven.
Yeah.
And that's one of the illustrations we didn't even have time to get into. And I'm challenging you today, don't be one of them. Because when you stand before a holy God, he's going to say, now, since you got saved, what did you do with your life for Christ Jesus? Did you live for you, or do you live for my son? And if you answer, and he already going to tell you what your answer is going to be, when you live for me, myself, and I, and you did not live for Christ, you're going to lose a great, let me say it again, a great reward. And it's going to hurt. Because God didn't save you to live for yourself. He saved you to live for him.
Amen.
And what I want to say to this, the Bible study was talking about the Lord's coming back one day. We talked about that Tuesday night, right?
Amen.
And he's coming back and he's returning. And you ought to be living every day that he might show up at that moment. You ought to be living every day that when he appears, you won't be found doing and thinking and ask something. Doing something contrary to his divine nature that's now in you. So you ought to be expecting his return. You ought to be expecting to live for him. That's the kind of aroma that God's looking at every day of your life. He's looking for that incense. In the Old Testament, when they went in, they put the incense on the altar. That incense rose up from the sacrifice, and it was a nostril to be inhaled by God. And God is looking at what's coming from your life. Is it an aroma that I would enjoy, or is it something that stench, that's repulsive? What did God say to Abel? Pastor's translation, I ain't inhaling this stuff. Cain tried to offer the fruits and the vegetables, and God said, I didn't ask for fruits and vegetables. I asked for a living lamb. Remember, on the altar was given a what? A lamb. What is that picture of? Christ to come. So now we're going to stop this message at this point, and we're going to challenge you. Do you know you were made by God and for God?